space, the final frontier. These are the tales of Starfleet and the vanguard of Federation space. Our continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
I'm Stan Shen, I'm the Game Master, and I play all the non-player characters.
I'm John, I'm playing First Officer Commander Court Rainier, a human in the Federation.
I'm Bailey, and I'm playing Lieutenant Bennett, I'm the Chief Medical Officer, and I'm a human.
This is Jeff, I'm new to the Star Trek universe altogether. I'm playing a Tellarite named Brev Chasson, who's a Lieutenant Commander. And the chief engineer.
What are Tellarites, Jim?
They're like the dwarf people. They do not look like pigs.
They're space dwarfs, right. Not space pigs,
yes.
As some have
not
called
particularly
them.
Short, though.
Pigs in space.
No, but just feature-wise.
Feature-wise.
Kind of dwarfish.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'm Mason. I'm playing Lieutenant Commander Abosis Zaraf, who is an Andorian and chief of security.
Very good. I'm going to go around one more time. Say your last name. I want to make sure I get the pronunciations down.
Commander Rainier.
Rainier?
Lieutenant Bennett.
Lieutenant Commander Chash.
Chash.
Yeah. I'm Lieutenant Commander Zaraf.
Zaraf. Very good. Captain's log, stardate 1253.01. We've received a message from the civilian exploration starship Ventura that their long-range shuttlecraft called the Susquehanna has gone missing in the Carina Nebula, deep within the Taurus Reach. The Susquehanna was investigating an unusual alien signal that originated from the nebula when all contact was lost. We have been ordered to enter the nebula, find the shuttle, and determine the origin and cause of the alien signal. Starfleet has also advised that Romulan and Tholian ships have been sighted in the region, so we should exercise caution, since they may well have detected the alien signal as well. Now, a bit about the Star Trek universe for those that are new to the setting, as well as the specific setting that our characters find themselves in. So, even though we're using the term Stardate 1253.01, Stardates are sort of a arbitrary number that equate to the alignment of planets and other sorts of arcane, obscure things. The actual Earth year is 2266. This takes place in the original series era of Captain James T. Kirk and his famed crew of the Starship Enterprise, even though we are not on the Enterprise. So there are two timelines. We are in the prime timeline, the original TV series. There's also, if you're watching the current movies by J.J. Abrams and his associates, that's called the Kelvin timeline. So it's a little, some events are a little different in the Kelvin timeline. But we are in the original series era. What is taking place at this point in time? So a few basics about the characters and Starfleet. So Starfleet is the military arm of the United Federation of Planets, which is an organization that was formed several decades ago to combat and deal with various situations going on in known space. The main players that you have outside the Federation of Planets, well, within the Federation of Planets, I mean, you have a massive area of space that it covers. In fact, inside of Federation space, there are still hundreds and hundreds of unexplored star systems. So even though you know there's a border and all, I mean, it's a bit like America when you've got you know, it's claimed for the British colonies, but there's still a lot out there that is unknown. Even as people explore and open up railroads, there's a lot in between that people don't know. But you are not really inside the main area of Federation space. You are in a area of space called the Taurus Reach. Now, if you imagine Federation space being a roughly octagonal area in the galaxy covering many light years. I don't know exactly how many light years across, but hundreds probably. So if you imagine we're on this, so if you look at the galaxy and you think of up or north being towards the center of the galaxy, and you think of south or the galactic south being towards the edge of the galaxy, and then galactic west and galactic east. So if you think of that as your orientation, from Federation space, you have to the southwest, you have the Tholians. And the Tholians are this insect-like species that live in a high heat environment. So you really couldn't get on board a Tholian spaceship and have to, because it's much too harmful an environment for humans. And they are very xenophobic. They are distrustful of humans and of all the different species of Starfleet. And so there you have the Tholians, and then to the galactic southeast, you have the Klingon Empire. North, galactic north of them are the Romulans, and then there's some other different species that there's like the Gorn there on the southeast edge of Klingon space and Federation space. But if you think about the galactic south side of Federation space, on the edge of Federation space, between the Tholians of Galactic West and the Klingons of Galactic East, you have an area of essentially unexplored space. And this is called the Taurus Reach. Now, for reasons that your pay grade have not seen fit to give you deep briefing on, Starfleet, the United Federation of Planets, has prioritized starting to set up some basic outposts and a presence in the Taurus Reach. So even though they're not coming in and claiming it, saying, yeah, okay, everything in this entire sector is Starfleet, it's unclaimed, and so they're starting to move in. Now, this has caused some concern among both the Tholians and the Klingons, because it's like, why are they settling in this area of space? They've got plenty of unoccupied space inside of Federation space. So, between the Tholians being xenophobic and distrustful, and the Klingons basically have it. You've been at war with the Klingons in the last 10 years, and you're always sort of on the edge of this sort of Cold War type situation where you never know where things are going to escalate. It's a little bit of a rough neighborhood to be setting up outposts. There is a starbase called Starbase 47. It's a huge starbase with tons of personnel. It serves as an outpost for various ships to dock. You are on the USS Darius, which is a Saladin-class starship. So if you think about the iconic, the original series era starship, the Enterprise, it has basically a saucer with two nacelles. Those are the big tube-like engines that it has. And so that's basically a top-of-the-line starship. You are on the next rung below that. You're on a single nacelle starship called a Saladin class. It's basically the saucer with a single tube for propulsion below it. And there'll be a picture on the blog for those that want to see that, or if you just search on Saladin class Star Trek, you'll find pictures of the ship.
Which I did.
All right. Mason's a go-getter. Yeah. And So it's kind of a cool starship. So that's what you're on.
This is actually an image of the USS Darius.
Are you looking at an image of the USS Darius?
I just typed in Saladin class, and that's what it brought up, but yeah.
Well,
there you go.
We're ranked well in Google if you're logged in as Mason and it knows you search Dyson frequently.
How weird that the first one that Brick comes up is
the USS Darius. Dun-dun-dun!
What's our NCC number? 502.
Yeah.
All right.
NCC 502.
What does NCC stand for?
We'll have to look that up.
Yeah, there's somebody knows. Yeah.
As the chief security officer, I would assume you would know.
I'm accessing the data web.
So a few notes on the Star Trek setting, for those that are new to it. So we talked about Starfleet and the Federation space. Starfleet, yes.
It's a naval construction contract.
That's probably the...
According to the making of Star Trek NCC.
All right.
It's the Starfleet abbreviation for Naval Construction Contract.
Interesting. Interesting.
All right. So, you're members of Starfleet, and Starfleet is called upon to peacefully resolve situations. So there's a lot of exploration, there may be a negotiation. If you do get in a fight, and that will assuredly happen, fortunately you have phasers, which have a stun setting. So the default assumed thing that you're going to be doing, I'll actually ask you at the beginning of conflicts, you know, what type of attack are you doing? Is it to stun or is it to kill? And if you do it to kill, you, as a Starfleet officer, you have to have good cause, because you don't just go around like shooting little Klingon babies and things like that. Hopefully not. Unless you want to start a war, or if nothing else, get a big talking down and maybe a loss of rank as being in Starfleet.
And with the Klingons, far less will start a war.
That's
they,
true.
They are very touchy. He sneezed. Kill them all.
Looked at my chat.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the also big hallmark things in the Star Trek universe is they have... So even though you do have shuttles that can take you from the starships down to planet side, they also have the ability to beam things from one place to the other. They're big into shields, so you'll hear shields going down to 80%, 60%. There's certain logistics about, like, if you got the shields up, you can't necessarily beam things out, in and out, things like that.
And the shields always seemed kind of, like, not very effective, because they would supposedly have 100% shields, get shot, and somebody's computer panel would explode, and they'll go, we're at 85% shields, Captain. I'm like, what did the shield do?
Yep, there was a lot of speed of drama type things going on with early Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely true. Anyway, so those are kind of the basics of Starfleet. So let's talk about what's going on right now with all of you. So Captain Gregory Constans summons all of you to the transporter room. So you all get a chirp on your communicators, and you're called to the transporter room.
And we're still using the handheld communicators.
That's right. They're basically the flip phones of the galaxy.
Love it. Nice. So I'm going to head down.
I'll grab my tricorder and my little medikit and head to the transporter room.
Very good. When you arrive, Captain Constans is there. He has a cup of coffee, and he looks at you, and he looks at the digital clock on the wall, and all of you are arriving at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so everyone arrived punctually. So he looks pleased that you've all arrived on time, because you're some of the officers that he's keeping an eye on for grooming, for promotion, or... in this case, an assignment on their way team. Gentlemen.
Captain.
I am glad you arrived promptly. We have a situation today. The civilian exploration vessel, the Ventura, has given us a distress call. They have a shuttle called the Susquehanna, and it has gone missing. Apparently, they received the Ventura, a mothership, received... a signal that seemed to be of alien origin. It wasn't some random pulsar signal, nor was it any known signature from any of the species in the Federation of Planets or any species that we have contact with. So it seemed to be something of interest. So the Ventura dispatched the long-range shuttlecraft, the Susquehanna, to go investigate. The signal was coming from inside the Carina Nebula.
Inside the nebula?
Inside the nebula.
Was there a planet inside the nebula?
And so this nebula had not been explored, so the long-range shuttle was going in to see what was there. The shuttle was gone overly long, and communication was lost with it. So the Ventura ventured into the nebula far enough to see that there was actually a star system inside of the nebula called Seku. They've named it. They actually got to name the star system. And the sixth planet, Seku 6, is where, based on the ion trail of the shuttlecraft path, they believe that the shuttle went down. But the alien signal apparently is intermittent and it stopped. And the shuttlecraft, there's no word coming from the crew. There is a signal of a distress beacon coming from the shuttlecraft, as if it's down and the crew is trying to communicate.
And so the Ventura didn't send down a rescue team?
Well, at this point, because they really aren't as equipped as well as we are for rescue operations.
Civilians.
Or you can guess as to whatever their particular motives are. In any case,
they're just civilians, Captain.
That they are. They are civilians.
That's why we're here. We do the dirty work so the civilians can keep their clothes clean.
Well, Commander Zaharo, I mean, we may not have to fire our phasers, you know. We just got to go down there and find them. They could have a medical problem down there.
True, but we could still find a reason to fire the phasers.
Captain, the alien signal, we had our communications officer analyze the signal to see if there's anything we've recognized.
Yes, and it's not a signal that we have ever seen. Not a species or a signature of a technology that we recognize.
And no linguistics that we could match
no.
up with.
No.
It was definitely technological. It wasn't.
It was definitely natural. Technological.
It's not organic. Okay.
Right. It was not organic. At least not in any of the types of biosignatures that produce radiation that would emit into space. Hmm. So, it's still unknown. We don't know if it's intelligence or some phenomenon we've not encountered before. But more to the point, we have a missing shuttlecraft with two scientists that were aboard.
Who are the scientists?
Their names were, let's see, and he pulls up his data pad, and he says...
This is GM talk for, let me give me a moment to think.
there was scientist Eloy Pettigrew. And his accompanying scientist. These aren't officers because they're not in Starfleet. His accompanying scientist, Henry what?
Henry Watson.
Watson. Right, thank you. I need my random name generator, which is not in front of me.
What was the first guy's name? Pettigrew?
Eloy Pettigrew.
Captain, can I get the alien signal downloaded into my tricorder so I can actually analyze it on the way and you know I'm an expert in linguistics?
Certainly you may. And he points over to, there's a red shirt engineer over by the transporter console. And he taps them on the console and it's going to beam over to your tricorder.
Thank you, Engineer Jones. Greatly appreciate it.
Commander Zaharo, are you going to have me carry a phaser? I'm not really all that great with it.
Yes, I preferably would all carry one, but if necessary, I'll be the one to do the shooting.
As you always do.
Well, that is my job.
We should talk before we shoot, gentlemen. Shooting is always the first choice.
I agree, humans. But either way, you are the medical officer, so you just focus on doing that job. I'll keep you alive.
I'll keep you alive.
Fair enough.
I think we both have our roles to play.
Agreed. Yeah, here's hoping for some conflict. Which is a type of contest.
Gentlemen, are you ready to beam down?
I was born ready.
Before we leave, Captain, could I get the data for the ship that went down? Just the basic overview of the ship, the schematics on my...
Oh, yes. Do you have a tricorder? Mm-hmm. Very good. And he gestures to the engineer to... he brings over a data chip. It's a little round, like a wooden... poker chip.
And same thing, can we download any medical records for both Eloy Pettigrew and Henry Watson for our doctor?
Medical records, we will have to ask the Ventura. We don't have those. Right,
they're both they're both humans.
They're both humans.
And do we have pictures of them or visuals?
Yes, we do. And he pulls up his data pad.
That's great. I'll bring
mine. That'll violate space HIPAA if we give.
Well, it's part of writing down the tricorder. It actually has all the forms you have to fill out.
In the 1960s, this is pre-HIPAA.
HIPAA waiver.
That's true.
It's pre-HIPAA. It is pre-HIPAA.
It's SHIPAA.
SHIPAA. Space HIPAA. SHIPAA.
And Federation plan. You FIPA. All right, gentlemen. Let's go. I wish you the best of luck. Oh.
And I'm already on the transporter pad, by the way.
You're eager to go.
I did. I didn't even get my phaser out. Like, ready.
The engineer who's at the transporter panel, his name is...
type 2.
Commander Chen.
Who's Commander Chen, sir?
Commander Chen.
Wow.
Who's got a commanding chin?
Who is it?
Commander Chen. He's an engineer operating the...
That's a high rank for a...
Lieutenant.
For someone who's underneath me.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised he was not an ensign.
Or Lieutenant. Lieutenant Chen.
Commander Chen is operating the transporter?
Lieutenant Commander Chen, yeah. And he is frowning and says, I want all of you aware that there is great interference on the planet. There's a... looks like a passing magnetic storm, I believe, which is... Not to be expected with a planet like this. This planet doesn't have the weather and biosphere that would normally be expected for magnetic storms. So there seems to be some interference. So give me a moment. It will take a second to lock your pattern onto a window that does not have magnetic interference. So.
Oh, this is already getting interesting.
Commander Rainier, may I suggest we take a shuttlecraft down to the planet?
Oh, it's fine.
I don't disagree. I think that's an excellent suggestion.
It's a bad idea. We might have two shuttlecrafts.
I think we'll just captain.
You can always beam us back up.
It appears that Lieutenant Commander Chen is having difficulty and wishes to use some sort of excuse, so maybe we should take a shuttle.
Commander Chen looked at you.
I'm disappointed.
Do you distrust my transporter comm panel?
100% I do.
I'm heading towards the shuttle bay. I'm already heading towards the shuttle bay.
Can we double time into the shuttle bay?
This is First Officer Courtney. Please brief the shuttle bay. We'd like the shuttle Defiance.
And by the way, Captain Constance had already left the room by the time this happened.
That's fine.
Commander Chen, he's looking very... I've got the lock now! And you're walking
out. I smile. Good job, Commander Chen.
Don't worry, Chen. I trust you. So I'm going to reluctantly follow these wannabe Starfleet officers to the shuttle pod.
I'm going to bust him down to lieutenant.
Can we bust him down to like ensign or something?
Oh, man.
No, that was spoken in private to the lieutenant commander, who is weirdly high-ranked for someone operating the transporter.
He is weirdly high-ranked.
Yeah, and what should happen to know is that there was an ensign that was on duty. But that because of the interference, they brought him in because of his expertise. He's basically in the engineering department, and he's a high, you know, he's basically.
Is he like second? Is he like his second
command?
Because you're the chief engineer.
Yeah, yeah. Correct. Yeah.
And so, so actually, you probably would have.
I heavily scrutinized everything he did.
Right. Exactly.
Bring him in for expertise, and he still can't get it done.
And
he claims he did get it done, but you're skeptical, though.
He sure did claim a lot of things.
You can check that when we get back.
Noted. Yes.
Let's see.
Well, I'm sure we're all.
I'm going to get on the shuttle to find
properly
do a
trained
complete checkout to make sure it's good before we head down.
Okay.
The pilot. So I'll check through it, get everything ready to go, sit down in the driver's seat, and they hop on. We'll take
all right. So you're able to. There's a. Shuttlecraft.
I was going to say, who's flying? You're flying.
Okay. All right. And what's the name of this shuttlecraft?
It's the Defiant.
The Defiant.
Yeah. So I need it first.
It's a bold name for a shuttlecraft.
Yeah, that's pretty
is it,
bold.
It's the Defiant.
Isn't the Defiant the name of the shuttlecraft from Deep Space Nine?
It is. That's 100 years from now, though.
Okay. So we did it first.
It's named after the epic shuttlecraft.
Exactly. Which is going to be the second one to crash on this planet.
All right. The Shuttle Defiant. No one knows why it's named that. But
we know why.
It's
because we're defiantly not beaming down to the
right.
Planet.
This is how you thumb your nose at Lieutenant Commander Chen, I guess.
I love the back.
Commander Rainier, can you pilot this craft?
Absolutely.
Are you sure?
Yes.
All right.
I've heard that confident tone before. Mm. He's lying.
He's lying. I'm the first in command of a Starfleet officer.
I think that's a con skill.
I'm good.
All right, good. So there is a magnetic storm that you're trying to navigate through, and you don't have anyone able to, look for a convenience window to quickly beam someone through. You're going to have to find a path. So,
who's going Rainier, to scanners, I'm assuming you are.
You're doing the piloting, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to make a control con check.
Awesome.
And you're actually going to make a series of three checks. The first one is a one.
Can we assist him? Can someone else be on the other panel assisting?
Yeah, someone run sensors.
You can have
to figure out the path.
With the size of this shuttle, you can have a maximum of one other person assisting. Okay, now, what you will do?
Sensors to help me find a path.
Engineer.
Yeah. So tell me how you're assisting. Are you trying to do sensor scans to find a path through the magnetic storm, which would probably be a good idea, or...?
Yes. Be All scanning right. for any kind of opening, or if it's kind of a regular pattern of, like, surges, then we'll look for timing, anything like that.
Okay, very good. So you're going to use a your reason attribute plus, I'm going to say, engineering. So you add those. This is our first dice roll of the game. So the way this works is, so just in general, the way the Star Trek Adventure systems work is, it's called the 2D20 system. It's the same core mechanics are shared between Conan and the upcoming John Carter of Mars and the, I believe it's called the Infinity system. And so the core mechanic is a player character starts with, for normal roles, this one's actually a little different. In a normal role, you start with two 20-sided dice, 2d20. That's where the system gets its name. Your target number is, in this game, is you take your attribute. You know, every player character has an attribute ranked. You have six attributes. They're all ranked from the number 7 or to the number 12. And you also have a discipline, which equates to essentially your Starfleet area of expertise. So things like command or con, which is piloting, security engineering, that sort of thing. Your disciplines have a rank from 0 to 5 in general, but for player characters, I believe it's all 1 to 5. What you do is you add those two together. So in your case, it was, what did we say? It was...
Reason and Engineering.
Reason and Engineering. So you add those two abilities together. And what is your score when you add those together?
17.
17. So this is a roll under system. So you're going to roll...
Actually, I want to take this back. You should be piloting, because you have small craft and you
That's why I was asking you if you were sure you should be piloting.
No. That's
why. You have small craft.
Technically, you are first officer, so I wanted to give you the opportunity
to pilot. I don't have star craft, so that he gets double results when he makes it on his focus.
Yep, that's exactly
right. So we'll have you go. We'll have you pilot, and why don't I assist you?
Oh, no. Oh, Brad, please. Please save us from the inevitable doom.
My ability says advisor. Whenever you assist another character using your command discipline, the character assisted can reroll a d20.
Okay.
So you want to be the assister?
Yeah.
Okay. So once again, we'll have one because logistically you can't have like
when you're assisting four people. I'm correct. The assister doesn't roll a single d20.
That's correct.
Yeah. Assister, my ability. Whenever you assist another character, the character assisted may reroll a d20. That's one of my talents.
Reroll.
Yeah. So re-roll. The character so that you assisted. D20. But no, the way it works is whoever is doing the assisting, in this case, the first officer.
Yep.
Normally, you do a skill check with 2d20s.
Okay.
But if you're assisting, you just roll a single d20.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. But and then if you succeed, then you
it adds your ability to my success.
You also get to reroll one.
Right. Correct.
Okay. That's
correct. So what you're saying is totally correct, but it doesn't.
Okay. Cool. I'll still give him a chance, and he gets to reroll.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So even if you fail, I think he still gets the chance to reroll.
Lieutenant Commander Kashyyyk, feel free to override me when it's appropriate.
Yes, sir, Commander.
So this is a roll under system. So you, the lower you roll on a particular d20, the better. So a one is a special type of situation where you actually would gain instead of one success. So if you roll equal to or under your attribute plus discipline score, which is a 17, I believe is what you said, then you get...
Well, not for piloting. For piloting, that's con, so that'd be a 15.
Okay, that's right. We switched it to where you're piloting.
Yep, and I'm assisting by scanning. But, scanning was which two?
So that's going to be control plus con, so now that you're the pilot, okay? So
control plus con is control. Okay, that's a 12. So for the scanners, it is reason and engineering.
Perfect, so I'm pretty good at both of those. I got a total of a 12, so that's decent.
Okay, so back to Chash. You've got, so what is your control?
I'm assisting, so I go first, right?
Well, first let me explain the mechanic, okay. but then, I don't know if, I guess you would. I don't know that it matters. But,
okay.
We'll let you go first. Back to Chash. So your control plus con is what?
12.
12. Okay.
Then I have a small craft focus.
Okay, so what that means is your target number is 12. So if you roll... So the normal course of things, you're going to roll your 2d20, unless you do other things to increase that number. And any of those d20s that are equal to or less than the target number, which in this case is 12, is a single success. Target number, the difficulty is 1. That means you need at least 1 success to succeed. And it's only a difficulty 1, but you're going to get an extra d20 from Commander Rainier.
Assisting gives you an extra d20.
I roll an extra
d20. Oh, it gives you an extra success, not extra d20.
So assisting, right? if he succeeds...
If I make it, I give him an extra success.
But if you also, like, not a roll, 20, not then 20 we get, roll, the, but we get the complication.
Success.
Mm. Yeah, so we get the complications from him, yeah, right. And we get the success. So it's basically you just get one shot.
One extra roll. Yeah. Okay.
And if I'm not mistaken, if I roll under my discipline number, that's 2 successes also, correct? So I have a 3 for my discipline, which is con. If you roll under that number... If you have a focus and you roll under...
Focus.
Which I do. So if I have the focus of small craft and I roll under my con, then that gives me 2 successes each time I do that.
Breach success.
Which then build momentum.
Yes. Because normally you have to get a 1 to get 2 successes, yes. But with the
that's, focus... Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to go and roll for my scanning.
Yeah, you go ahead and roll for yours.
For scanning. So I rolled a... 19 and failed my scanning roll, but you still get a re-roll because of my special ability.
Okay.
So now you get 2D...
Yes. That is 1 success.
And you get a re-roll in the 18. Still got 1.
All right, 1 success. Okay.
But that counts as 2 for you because you have small craft. So yes. We got 2 successes.
2 successes.
Which gives us 1 momentum.
1 momentum, unless you want to spend the momentum on something. There's a table, but I would say spend it on...
But the way momentum works, we lose 1 at the end of every scene.
Yes.
So right. That if it's not spent now, that's likely going to be gone as soon as it's
done. Well, there's 2 more. We're doing a skill challenge where you can have 3 rolls.
Perfect.
So you may want to use it on the next roll or the one after that. Very good. So you you managed to successfully get through the first wave of clouds you're seeing. Now, this is a planet you're noticing. You were briefed on this, but I'm just now describing it to you. So this is a very reddish kind of, it's kind of like Vulcan. So it's lots of, or Mars maybe would be a good example where, there's lots of craggy mountains. There's lots of, red and brown tones to the environment. You did get briefed on the biosphere and there weren't any, settlements or life signs of any sentient type species. There's little critters and things, like little squirrel-sized beasts here and there, and there's lichen and plants and things like that. But there's no active volcanoes, at least not the part of the world that you're in. But it's kind of a, you know, not particularly friendly type of environment. So that's the kind of place. But it's not like you need hazard suits or anything, environmental suits. But you get through the first wave of clouds, just big lateral lightning bolts, and you see your sensors kind of those like static, kind of like goes across the view screen once in a while, and you're hearing lots of crackling on the audio coming from the sensors. So you can tell that there's magnetic storm type elements out there, and you're really having to do some serious navigation to get through. So you made it through your first set of clouds. You're about a third of the way through the this particular layer of cloud cover. You need to roll again as you continue to descend the shuttle.
Great
craft.
Job, Commander.
Continue to help scan.
Is difficulty 1 on this?
Is it really choppy? Turbulence in the air.
Yeah, it is.
Good.
Yeah.
So from the back, I quip, "This was actually a way better idea than teleporting."
Doing a great job, Commander Cash.
None of our bits have been scattered across the galaxy.
Right.
No. Just one success is all we need.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I'm enjoying myself. This is an adventure. I'm getting jerked around.
So I made mine. Yep, so you have a success from me, plus whatever you do now. But that re-rolls because of my special ability.
And this is worth two.
Yep. Oh, is it really? Right. Mm-hmm. When you roll low?
Yeah, it's a small craft.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah, yeah. Nice.
So that's four successes?
Five, because of mine one.
Five successes?
Yeah. So that's four momentum?
Yeah.
Wow.
Four momentum. Well, that's good.
I give you a fist bump, my good friend.
We're at five momentum.
That's very needed. Oh, by the way, I was supposed to start. I didn't put down my momentum as the game master.
You don't have momentum.
Well, you start with eight threat.
He has eight threat. Yeah. Is it, what, two per player?
Yep.
I think it's, something like that.
Let's see, what is it? I was thinking it was going to be eight. Two for each threat, each player. Two threat for each player.
That's what I start with.
One, two, three, four. I'm collecting the threat tokens here. Six.
Yeah, exactly.
And where are the rest of the tokens?
Do we have any more threat tokens?
Yeah, I have a whole bunch of them.
Oh, we need two more for Stan. Oh.
Who's the token master?
I am the token master.
Oh, okay. Bailey. Okay. All right.
I don't know.
Very good. So you made it through another wave of clouds. You could feel the shuttlecraft being buffeted around by the turbulence and the lightning outside. There's flashes. And you start to see cracks in the clouds where you're starting to see the planet below. So you're almost in the clear. You've got one more roll. Now, what you've noticed, though, is that the intensity of the storm seems to have increased. Mm-hmm. And they're starting to... The lights reflecting off your shuttle is basically these lightning bolts with all this ancillary static energy that's coming off, they're getting very close. So the difficulty on this one is going to be difficulty three.
I'm going to spend three momentum and gain two extra d20s.
Nice. Oh, nice. How about my success? I
did not
make a success because of my luck. Can you burn a momentum to add one after you roll?
No, you have to call it four.
So you'll get...
Yes!
You get a reroll. So that's...
Wait, did you get a 20?
But no, he gets a reroll. He gets a reroll.
My special ability.
As a commander, I can help him reroll.
That is three successes already.
Does your special ability cost momentum? We need to look at that. Because mine does.
Oh. So we need to verify, too, that if he gets it, even if you fail to assist...
Yeah, we'll just need to check that. A lot of special abilities cost a momentum to use.
Mm, gotcha.
Okay. I wouldn't worry about it right now.
Yeah, we need to look.
Very good.
And by the way, mine specifically says it has to. You have to spend a momentum to use mine.
Mine doesn't. I had to write it in.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
In game, I succeeded. I got three successes out of four dice.
Wow, that's excellent.
So how many is up? Two extra, or is that just one extra?
No, that was... We met the difficulty.
Yeah. Oh, you met the difficulty. Okay, so no momentum.
Three
okay, great.
Successes. There was a 20 rolled, but it was re-rolled, so it didn't kick in. Now, if you roll a 20, just for the everyone's benefit, a 20 is a... I think they call it a critical failure? What they call it in this game, but it's complication.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they call it. And by the way, complications or kind of like aspects were something negative. Well, it's a narrative thing that happened in the scene that are going to actually make things harder in the future. So it's a good thing that you were able to re-roll that 20.
Yes.
So, you...
This was not easy.
Yep, so the shuttlecraft, I mean, basically, this is like one of those bridge scenes in the original series where you're going back and forth, and you're hanging on to your chair, and it feels sort of like you're going to lose your breakfast there for a couple moments there. But you're able to get down to the area where this general signal area was, because it was hard to localize. You basically were getting this distress signal, the shuttlecraft, but you couldn't pinpoint it out down at the meter.
Yes. Once we're through the atmosphere and we've broken below, can I actually use the? Remember, I had downloaded the file, the alien signal.
Yep.
Can I scan frequencies to see if we can find that signal and find a source?
So while you're still.
While we're
in
still
the air, and you're basically just scanning the land below for all manner of signals, alien signals and otherwise, right?
Yep.
So when you break through, let's see. So you're able to see. So you're doing. So you're going to do a scan, like the using the shuttle scanners.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're going to do that. Is that right?
Actually, how good are you on scanning? Because I got to give it over to you once we're in the atmosphere.
I'm pretty good.
Okay. Why don't you, I'll assist you then. So I'll make my assist roll on you 12. I rolled a 19 because that's all I roll as the commander. I just kind of hang out and go like, "Yeah, do it. Good job."
Yeah, it's
like the first. Well, it's the idea is like your flavor is your. I just leading.
Yeah, exactly.
So
okay. Chash is
doing the real
is
work.
Doing the scanning. Okay. And what are your let's for the benefit of the listeners? What's your? Oh, well, actually, I should probably call that.
Yes,
it's,
please.
It's going to be. I think it's probably going to be reason in this case, as you're basically, you know, doing the surveying the landscape. So I'm going to say reason plus
engineering.
Yeah,
that gives me a 17 target number.
Oh, yeah.
Twice.
And that gives me two successes, a 2 and a 9.
Okay,
one momentum,
two successes.
Wait, what's your engineering?
5.
Oh, but you don't have a specific focus for this.
Not for the scanners, yeah. No.
And this is, we're still considering this the same scene as the cloud scene, so you've lost momentum at this point. So you got two successes. I didn't tell you the target number, but the target number was a 1.
So we get another momentum.
No, he already added. He already added.
Okay. Now here's the way on something like a scanner check. Here's how this works. So if you have a target number of... So if the difficulty is 1,
okay,
and you succeed with just 1 success, then you basically get an answer. If you want to get additional answers, then you can spend a point of a momentum one at a time to get additional answers. And then basically once you feel like you've gotten enough answers, you can stop spending.
Right.
But
we would like to spend 1 immediately.
Okay, so I'll tell you the free, before you spend anything, I'll tell you what you first find out. Because you're looking for both the alien signal and what's going on with the shuttlecraft distress beacon.
Yeah, I mean, you can probably also scan for the shuttlecraft.
Exactly.
Right, on the ground.
Yep, so the first thing you see just from your success is that there is a comm badge signal, which is different than the shuttlecraft distress beacon. So you do see that there's a comm badge signal down there that appears to be nearer to you than the shuttle distress beacon. That's the first thing you notice. And at the moment, unless you spend momentum, that's all you know.
We'll spend 1.
You'll spend 1. You're also able to see that the shuttle distress beacon is further away, and I'm going to draw a quick little map and describe it to the listeners. All right, so I'm drawing a map here. The shuttlecraft is coming down in the middle of the map, and there's a planetary north, and to the northwest, just a couple of kilometers, is the comm badge signals. And
signals? Multiple?
Yes, there's 2, actually.
Okay.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep. And then 2 kilometers to the northwest is, or actually, 3 kilometers to the northwest is the distress beacon of the shuttlecraft. So
the alien signal's there, the distress
beacon? Well, no, this is the... Okay, there's 2 signals that are not the alien. So you've got the comm... Alien... So, not alien. The...
Inter-Federation.
The 2... So these were civilian scientists were on the Susquehanna shuttlecraft.
Were they the only ones on the Susquehanna?
Yes.
Okay.
So they were. So there's 2, and there's 2 comm badge signals. And they're coming from 2 kilometers to the northwest of your shuttle, which is above the surface of the planet right now. 3 kilometers to the northeast is the signal of the shuttle. So they're not in the same place.
Yeah, let's go set down by the 2 comm signals. Let's go get them immediately, get them to safety.
Okay.
Set us down, Lieutenant Commander.
I would like to make a pass first to make sure they're not being carted somewhere or
taken somewhere so we can have a better plan of attack.
Excellent suggestion.
Also, okay. We can survey the surroundings and make sure there's not someone hiding an ambush.
Exactly.
That's a good point from a security perspective.
Okay,
what
so...
What perspective is there?
Roll another scanner check. I guess Chash are going to do it again?
I will assist him again with my failure. Oh my gosh, I actually assisted him.
All right, so there's one success.
All right.
Ooh, that's two successes.
That is, that's three total.
Three successes. All right.
Two more momentum.
It was a difficulty of one, so you get two momentum, or, you know, you can, of course, you can spend that on asking additional questions. So you're, in general, just trying to look for any other interesting...
Well, I'd like to do a flyby to one, check the... I know that Commander Abbasis would like to survey the area to check for any kind of threats that we might have missed on our scanners.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, I'd like to make sure that we can see possibly where they're coming from, if at all possible.
Yep. So the first thing you notice is... Well, let's see. I'll tell you the thing that you were scanning for first. There is also 3 kilometers to the southeast is a trail of smoke. Just didn't want to forget it. Like this kind of smoke just kind of going up in the air, and it's coming from within a valley. And you don't know if it's like a campfire or a little forest fire.
This trail of smoke is roughly southeast of
where you're at right now. I'm assuming you're just making a circuit that within like maybe a half kilometer, just kind of surveying the general area.
Yes.
Kind of like this. We're in a circle. Yeah, so the 3 kilometers to the southeast of your, what would you call it? Your perimeter that you're flying over. And then... Now, when you first broke through the atmosphere, you did not hear signs of this alien signal. And it was pretty strong signal for the Ventura to have ever heard it from...
In space.
In space, yeah. You know, from like a light year away. So this was a, not a light year, but a, you know, probably a half a light. Yeah, it's a significant distance. And, you know, so it had to have been pretty strong. When you came through, you didn't hear anything. Now you're hearing a faint chirping that's consistent, though, with that alien pattern. And it is 6 kilometers to the southwest. And that is...
We're going to spend a momentum to get a little more info.
Okay.
Good call.
Very good call.
All right.
Chief engineer.
Yeah, so the...
better kill stuff. Yeah.
That's all we have.
That's when I wake up. What? Kill stuff?
Yeah. So you additionally find that the trail of smoke is consistent with some sort of industrial... technology, like a burning car, or you know, someone that has
from a smokestack on a factory kind of thing.
A smokestack from a factory. It's not very big though, so it would be
just bigger than a fire.
It's bigger than a campfire.
Okay,
and it has trace elements in it that aren't just like wood.
Some metallic.
Yeah, so there's something.
It's not a forest fire.
It's not a forest fire. So there's something. There's elements you can tell from your sensors that indicate that there's some other chemicals in the smoke.
Okay.
So, something industrial.
And just to recap, we confirm that that's their shuttle down there.
That's where the signal's coming
well,
from.
It's a standard civilian...
Distress beacon.
Shuttle distress beacon.
So and that's,
we don't know for sure that it's their shuttle.
And that's northeast of where we're at.
That's
right
northeast.
So for those shuttle, who are listening.
Yes. Right. Yeah. The shuttle might be down there, we don't know, or it could be something else.
Okay.
And they were walking that way.
And they have comm badges to the northwest.
Definitely secure the civilians, but we need to make sure their safety is our
paramount. Well, that is the mission, primary mission objective.
Exactly. Let's do it.
All right.
So I would set down... I would check with our security officer to see where he thinks the best...
Technically, gentlemen, our actual briefing was to find the shuttle. It said nothing of the crew.
Just the shuttle. Right. So
yeah, the people are down there. They have like an SOS.
This is my bye.
Sorry. We just needed to get your craft.
We got our shuttle.
No, believe me.
Sorry. Commander Brev, I would suggest anything with elevation and some relative modicum of cover would be ideal. That would have clear line of sight of the location of the comm badges.
So we'll look for if we have to go. If we have to go to northeast, if
you want to land at an elevation. Is that what you said?
If we,
if possible, he asked me what the ideal position would be from a security perspective.
So there is an elevation. That it's basically it's a kind of a small craggy mountain that has basically what amounts to like it's a plateau that makes a nice little landing pad.
Perfect.
But so you know you could get out and you could survey pretty well, but then you'd have to like climb down. It'd take a little bit. So good security for you, slow getting to the comm signals.
While we land,
just land close to the comm signals, and I'll get out first. Yeah. And I'll do my job.
In fact, it might be good if we keep the chief engineer, Kashyyyk, if you stay in orbit, like you go back up. That way the shuttle doesn't get trapped in the ground. We send the three of us down.
I'd really rather to have a quick exit sort of if necessary.
That's what I'm saying, keeping them... Oh, you mean keep on the ground initially?
Yeah.
Okay, so you want us to land first, you come out, and then if we need to, we'll pop back up.
Let's do it.
Preferably, because I don't want you guys to take off and then I'm surrounded by like...
No, the two of us are backing you up. You head out point, we'll come behind you if that's cool. And then he stays in the controls in case we need to go quick.
Yeah, he stays in controls. I would recommend he don't take off, though.
Yeah, that's what we agree. We agree.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
All right.
We're going to go out as Delta line formation to form a perimeter around the back end of the vessel. And other important technical security.
I pull out my tricorder.
Terminology.
Okay, so remind me where you landed. On the ridge or near the combat?
Near the combat.
Near the combat. Okay. Right on top of them.
All right. So the shuttle lands. There is ambient wind, but the landing of your shuttle kicks up some dust, kind of like a little helicopter landing, and so there's kind of this red cloud that comes up because it's pretty dusty.
Do these shuttles use some kind of thrust in that fashion?
What do you mean? Like, they do vertical takeoff and landing.
Well, but yeah, is it using, really, like, you know, movement of air type thrust?
Is it electromagnetic?
I don't actually know how the propulsion works.
Because we never see it land because they didn't have the budget. Right. In the original series, right? So it was always just on the planet.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean that as like a correction. I'm just curious. Like,
No, I actually think the way... Well, I think there's two technologies. There is... so these shuttles have two nacelles on them. They look kind of like little miniature versions of the Constellation Craft Enterprise. So they have two nacelles.
That's for warp, though, right?
And they can use that for warp. And they have... they have impulse
power,
which uses another technology, presumably still using those nacelles. And then I presume, thirdly, I don't know this for sure, and I'm sure one of our listeners can correct me, but I also know that they have anti-gravity type technology. So, like, you know, they'll wheel around carts that aren't on the ground and things. So I presume at some point something like that kicks in and has like a soft landing, like a vertical takeoff kind of thing. But you're right, it's not really a rotary thing. But
there's some form of...
There's already wind, and I'm going to say, and there's a lot of like electromagnetic stuff, and you're using some... So I'm thinking that between all of that, there's a disturbance. It's not quite like a helicopter.
I didn't ask because I didn't think there should be a disturbance. I would that made me think, hey, what kind of propulsion do they use?
Yeah, I think...
More just an interesting fact.
Yeah, the last 50 feet is going to be like some sort of anti-gravity stuff, I think.
Cool.
Okay.
Come in for a very abrupt landing.
And I'm opening the door before he lands.
Okay, I've got the shields up until he opens.
He's coming down the door. Right. And then we hit, and I'm like running. I'm running up the ramp as the door is only 50% down. And I like jump out super like aggressive. And
all right, so the shuttle bay... The shuttle door opens on the back of your space shuttle Defiant, and at that moment, At that moment, you know, you're greeted with this alien landscape. It's not the first time you've encountered any planet, obviously.
Hello, alien landscape. I've come to kill you.
But,
you don't kill it. Starfleet.
I've come to stun you, alien landscape.
But you do have... you do have a bit of an ominous feeling.
All right. Uh-oh. Keep your eye on this elevated ridge.
I'm going to scan the horizon. I'm looking for... I'm constantly watching, and I'm attempting to detect danger or find hidden enemies.
So we're going to end the segment right there.
To be continued.
I just cliffhangered myself.
Self-cliffhanging. That's really the worst kind.